that. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. You guys can have a seat. I'm really excited to have John Feltz here today. Some of you might not know this, but John is a friend of mine. I met him, and I was actually thinking about this not that long ago. I actually met John about 14 years ago when I was living in Wilmington, when we were living in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is where he still lives. And I was like, man, then it got me thinking. I was like, I say that I've known somebody for 14 years. I'm getting older. You know, like when you're at that point where you can say I've known, like that's older than my oldest kid is that I've known him. But what I was thinking is that one of the benefits that I didn't think about with the mask thing now is like you're getting carded again. Like that didn't used to happen anymore, right? So I was going this past week. I was going to get some of the cooking wine or whatever for a Christmas dinner, and the guy was like, "Hey, do you mind lowering your mask a little bit?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay, feeling a little younger." And I dropped the mask, and he was like, "Okay, there's some gray in there." And I was like, "All right, well, I was feeling better about myself." So anyways, I'm really excited that John's here, and I know, as we've said a lot, you know, things are a little different this year, and there's a few of us in here, but for those of you watching online, I just would love for you guys to give a huge, huge welcome to Mr. John Feltz.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. Please, please, please keep clapping. That makes me feel so good. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I love what Justin was saying. You know, there's not a lot of us here, but we're here. There's just a few of us. We're spaced out. This feels like a Biden rally. This is awesome right here. Very good. Oh, man, thank you for that kind welcome. Well, I think it's pretty clear that I forgot about your church's dress code. And I apologize, but it feels good to be this dressed up. It feels good. I haven't been this dressed up since court, so it feels really nice, actually. To have a shirt and tie on and everything. No, I didn't forget about your church's dress code. I remember you very well, River Run Church. I'm wearing this suit because 1 year ago exactly, in 2019, I decided I'm going to get a really nice suit because I had some corporate gigs lined up from May to October, and I'm going to get something real nice. I've never had a nice one. I've always had hand-me-downs or piece things together at Goodwill, so I'm going to go out. I'm going to get measured, and I did. I went there. They got the tape out, you know, and I was like, oh, don't be afraid to make it slim or snug. I'm going to lose weight in 2020. Yeah, so they measured it, and I got myself a real nice suit. And then 2020 hits, and everything fell apart and got canceled, but I made a promise to myself. I said, I'm going to wear that suit one time at least in 2020. And this is my last show of 2020. So congratulations, River Run Church. You have me at my finest. Yes. Yes, indeed. It's true. I wanted to look nice for you guys. And it's wonderful to be here. You don't know what some churches' dress codes are. Some churches dress up like this still every Sunday. And some churches don't. I can see some of you now. But you never know what the dress code is. I was doing a Zoom show for a church a few weeks ago, and I was like, what is the dress code? What do I need to wear? Is it semi-casual, casual, formal? They're like, John, we want to be a church where people can come as they are. We want it to be everything someone knows about a church that they can come as they are. We want it to be our motto here, come as you are. I said, wow, that is so cool. That is so awesome that this church has the exact same motto as Walmart. I mean, that is so awesome. Come as you are. Yes, there's no judgment here. And why not? Why not dress up for the end of 2020? Doesn't it feel good to be at 2020's funeral? How happy are you right now to be here with me this morning celebrating the end of 2020? Doesn't it feel great? Oh, it certainly does. And I did try to lose weight this year. That wasn't made up. I was doing great until March, all right? I was doing the keto diet. Anyone ever done the keto diet before? Yeah, a couple of us. If you're not familiar, it's a diet that works great because it's a diet that doesn't allow you to consume food. So it just works very quickly that way, you know? Right into the point. And by the way, that was a very kind welcome. We need to do that more. We need to make church more like sports now, okay? Since we're missing that so much. In fact, the next time Pastor Tyler comes out on stage, do the wave, okay? It'll make him feel awesome. We'll hand out foam fingers, you know, like God's number one, you know? And if he does a really good job at the end of the sermon, dump a bucket of Gatorade over his head, okay? That's, yeah, maybe at the second service only, okay? You don't want to mess up his hair or anything. So that's what we got to do right there, man. And it's funny, man. I've been to all different kinds of churches over the course of my career. I've done every church. I've done Baptist. I've done Southern Baptist. I've done Free Will. I've done Reform. I've done Presbyterian. I've done Lutheran. I've done Catholic. I was at a Pentecostal healing church this summer. And they're very, very spirit-filled and charismatic. And they were doing a worship service before the comedy show, right? And there's people dancing and moving around. They're playing loud instruments. And there's a woman on stage. And she's prophesying. She's like yelling things out and saying them to people and speaking the word over people. And I had my wife with me at this one. And she looks at us in the front row. And she looks directly at my wife. And she goes, "Deborah." And my wife just kind of like stares at her. She does it again. She goes, "Deborah." My wife like looks behind her. Maybe he's talking to someone else. You know, maybe she's talking. She does it one last time. She goes, "Deborah." And she goes, "Elizabeth." It's like, we weren't invited back to that church. It's crazy too, man. It's good to be here in Florida, though. I love coming to Florida. You guys are such a wonderful free state. There's such a wonderful eclectic blend of people and cultures in Florida. It's beautiful. You've got like Southern culture, you got Hispanic culture, you got country culture, you got Cuban culture. It's all jumbled into one place. You got people who have transplanted themselves here. It's a crazy blend of people that I love and hilarious. Y'all, I landed last night and went to your McDonald's after getting off the plane, and the lady behind the counter had an accent that was Puerto Rican and Southern. Like, at the same time, she was talking to the people behind the counter. She was like, "Psh, that's so stupid, y'all." And I was like, "Yes, yes, I'm in Florida. This is awesome." And it's good to see that you guys here at River Run are having a great year, even in the midst of all that's going on. You guys are still doing awesome, still going strong. It's wonderful to see. Last time I was here, I made a joke about how you guys had 5 stars based on 1 review on Yelp. Yes. And I wrote the review. But I Googled you guys this time. And when you Google River Run Church, you can see that on Google, you guys still have 5 stars based on 21 reviews, people. 21 reviews. That's great. Guys, that's not an easy score to get, okay? I don't know who this Morgan Faniff or Brian Adams is, but let me tell you, they must think you guys are pretty special to give you that score, okay? Oh, I like that there's not much that has changed here. I like that you guys are still going strong with the mission. I like that there are some things here that haven't changed since 3 years ago when I was here. Last time I was here, there was this crazy lady taking photos from an angle diagonal-wise. And you know what? I Googled you, went to your website. She's still doing the same thing. Same diagonal picture pose. Yes. Ah. And when you're in ministry, you got to wear a lot of hats, don't you? You do, especially in a time like this. You got to do things you weren't expecting you were going to do. When you're in ministry, you're on staff here, you have to wear a lot of hats. And of course, I mean that figuratively. But in the case of Justin Faniff, your children's minister, I mean that quite literally. I've never seen one man have so many hats in my entire life. Like some kind of truck must have broke down here with hats on it. It's a bottomless pit of hats, people, okay? Pastor Tyler, what is the budget for your children's ministry hat account, okay? Like, what is going on there? And this guy changes his hair and facial hair on a regular basis. Like, is he a spy during the week? Your children's pastor is quite an enigma. It's crazy. And last time I was here, if you Google Chulio to Florida, the first picture Google brings up is a graveyard. Now when you Google it, something very nice pops up, a very, very nice home. Look at that. Congratulations. You're doing better. That's where Trump's coming after the election. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but it's wild. And not even just this area right here, but the surrounding area. Seminole County. Make some noise if you live in Seminole County. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. If you Google Seminole County, first of all, I got to give it to you. The best motto and slogan I've ever seen. They have Seminole County, Florida's natural choice. You should tell people that. Where do you live? Well, naturally, Seminole County. Yes. And if you Google it, Google actually shows pictures of people who have taken photos from around town. And it's beautiful. There's pictures of scenery and nature. You have some beautiful parks here. But my favorite photo that I came across was this beautiful Christmas tree in one of your parks right here. And I love this photo because it's a beautiful, beautiful Christmas tree, but whoever decided to take it took it with a giant tree shrubbery right in front of it. You know what that is? That's a Christmas tree being photobombed by a Hanukkah bush. Like, I'm a holiday too! Hell yeah! Don't forget about me! Yes! And I realize it wasn't this person's fault. There's some kind of curse with this tree. No one can get a good photo of it. I scrolled for 10 minutes trying to find a decent photo. No one could do it. There's a curse. This person here tried to take a photo and it got all streaky. This person, like on a flip phone from 10 light years away, thought that would be a good photo. There's actually one, the worst one here is one with a giant building in front of the tree. The only decent one I found was one with Santa Claus and some children, okay? But even that is kind of a weird photo. It'd be a normal photo if the nutcrackers in the background didn't look absolutely terrified, okay? Like, apparently Santa is a stickler at the North Pole. All right. And I love Christmas. I love that the year ends with Christmas. It's such a wonderful day to celebrate. But there are things that I won't miss about Christmas for a year. Guys, I love Christmas. I'm not trying to hate on it. I'm just glad that we at least have one year before I have to watch another one of those horrible, horrible Hallmark Christmas movies. Anyone else's wife forced them to watch these monstrosities? No? Just me? It wouldn't be such a big deal if all of them didn't have the exact same plot. Every single one of them. All of them. It's the same thing. It's like, she's a busy business lady from the big city of New York who has to fly all the way home to Oviedo, Florida because she's discovered she's inherited a property she didn't know she owns. Now she's discovered that her high school sweetheart is keeping the town safe and is none other than Sheriff Dennis Lamo of Seminole County. Yes! Hallmark Channel presents The Natural Choice. This Christmas, you have the right to remain loved. I looked at that photo. I was like, that guy looks like a Hallmark Christmas Channel husband. I'm going to write a joke just for these people. That's what I'm going to do. My wife and I went to a Christmas party this year. Sorry, we snuck to a Christmas party this year. And the theme of the Christmas party was come as your favorite Christmas movie character. So I went as Linus. I love a Charlie Brown Christmas. I had the blanket and the shirt and everything. And she went, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go on Amazon, and I'm going to get me like a cute Santa outfit, huh? Won't that make you like me some more? Get me a cute Santa outfit? And I was like, yeah, that's what every husband wants, to make out with Santa Claus, yeah. She's like, no, it's going to be like a cute Mrs. Claus outfit. I'm like, Mrs. Claus isn't cute, okay? Mrs. Claus is Paula Deen with bifocals, okay? That's what Mrs. Claus is. In fact, in that picture of Santa and Mrs. Claus, well, that's why they're so scared. They're looking at Mrs. Claus, okay? It's not a pretty picture. Oh, man. But it's fun. You can take that down before it scares the children. That's... Oh, man, but it's good to be here. It's good to be here with the body, see people in person physically. If you're watching online, I think that's great, too. It's good to see worshipers worshiping. It's good to see pastors being pastors, preachers preaching. It's good to see volunteers volunteering. Give a hand for the volunteers, ladies and gentlemen. Help them make church possible. Yeah. I volunteered at my church until they started background checks. Technicalities happen, you know. It's tough. But, you know, whatever God does, shut a door, he opens up a window. It's true. And this year has been very tough. I lost pretty much all my work. But you know what? God is faithful, y'all. And I'm happy to say 6 months ago, during the summer, I got hired as a part-time worker at a big tech company, and it's been a huge help since. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? Big tech company, new part-time job. It's called Uber. Okay, some of you have heard of it. All right, very good. Yeah, it has been the easiest thing in the world, but you got to stick to your guns, you know? You got to hold on tight. You got to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Strength's a key one there. You got to hold on tight with a lot of your strength. I make prayer a big part of my daily life, you know? Just like Jesus, get away, be alone, pray, spend some time with God. I love praying. I especially love praying with people in the South. That's my favorite thing in the world. I was praying with your staff backstage, and it just reminded me how differently cultures are with prayer. I'm from the North originally, and up North, One person prays, everyone else is quiet. Down here, y'all be like interrupting people and stuff, like making noises like, there's that yes person that's just saying yes after everything in the prayer. And ever pray with a yes guy before? Yeah. Yeah. Some of you in the small groups? I remember praying with people in the South for the very, very first time ever. It freaked me out. We were in a prayer circle and they said, John, do you want to start us off? I said, sure. I was like, Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. Yes, Lord, yes. And we want to pray for Tim's grandma. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. And we, okay, time out. Look, we're going around a circle here taking turns praying. When it gets to you, yes it up all you want, all right? I'm trying to focus. I counteracted that guy. I just say a lot of no's during his prayer, you know? Lord, I want to thank you for this day. No, Lord, no, no. Want to pray for Tim's grandma? No, Lord. Nah. Don't have to do that. Some people are scared to pray. Did you know that? They don't like praying in front of people. Yeah. Tim, will you please pray for us? No, no, I'm not going to. I know this, too, from praying with people in the South over food. We were at a restaurant, and as soon as the food came to the table, everyone put their thumbs on the table just like this. And then everyone touched their nose just like this. And apparently the last person to touch their nose had to pray for the food. What are we so scared of? What do you say to the last person to touch their nose? Like, oh man, you are in trouble. You have to talk to God. He's going to be so mad at you. It's like, don't you feel pretty stupid right now? It's like, you're the one holding your nose at a Chili's, okay? Just going to put that out there. The best thing, though, the best thing that happens with prayer is when you're at a restaurant and you're praying and the waitress brings something to the table and the waitress has no idea what to do. You've seen it before. She'll come to the table and she'll be like, I don't know. They're praying. They're praying. I can't tap them on the shoulder. I can't do that. I'll just wait. They're still praying. I can't. They're Baptist. They're taking forever. Okay? I don't. And the one time I actually saw this, I actually saw a waitress try to slide the drink underneath the person praying without them knowing. That happened to me one time. Opened up my eyes, and I was like, oh, it's a miracle. The food is here. This is great. This is it's exactly what I ordered. I also love getting in my word. I love reading my Bible. I'm a big fan of the one-year Bible. Anyone here ever done the one-year Bible before? Yeah, a couple of us. If you're not familiar, it's a Bible in which when you read a little bit every day, you get through the entire Bible in 1 year, and it's awesome. It's not boring. It gives you a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb. I highly recommend it. I'm on my fourth time through. It's great and hilarious. The Bible is hilarious. If you think you're going to be bored, you're not. It is funny, funny stuff. It'll make you want to visit parts of the Bible. Like, I love reading about the disciples. Because the disciples were normal people like you and me, right? They were fishermen and they were tax collectors and they were normal guys, you know? And they made mistakes like we do. Like, the disciples were so stupid sometimes, I wouldn't be surprised if we find like a missing manuscript that tells us they tried to throw Jesus a surprise birthday party, okay? Like, we're gonna, it's like Bartholomew, quiet. Bartholomew, shh. Bartholomew, quiet, shh. Here he comes, here he comes, shh. Shh. This is 33, it's a big one. Here we go. Here we go, surprise! And Jesus is like, oh man, you shouldn't have. Come on now, guys. You really shouldn't have done this. Come on. Really, you shouldn't have done this. Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Whose idea was this? Whose idea was to have this on Christmas? Okay, come on now. I've been doing miracles for 3 years now. You didn't think I'd figure this out? Whose idea was this? Whose idea was this? Peter, was this your idea? Peter, don't deny it. The Bible is hilarious. The Old Testament, too. The Old Testament. When you read the Old Testament, it's like reading history. You get to read about the first person that hunted, the first person that worshiped, and before a certain time, the first time that language was separated. At a certain point in the Bible, a certain time in history, before a certain time, the entire world spoke one language. And then the Tower of Babel happened. You guys know about the Tower of Babel? Yeah? The Tower of Babel, we all spoke one language, and human beings, we got arrogant, as we do, and we said, you know what? We don't need God. We don't need God. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to build a tower all the way to heaven to show just how great we are and how much we don't need God. And God said, I don't think so. Here's what I'm going to do. Ready? Watch this. Ready? I'm going to confuse your languages. Ready? Watch this. Confusion. And I want to be a fly on the wall of the Tower of Babel when that happened. Because I want to see the guy that ended up with German. Wouldn't that be hilarious? You know, he'd be like, it's like, Steve, what's going on here? Steve, the tower's falling apart brick by brick. No one can understand each other. Steve, this is chaos. No one knows what's going on. Steve, say something. Von Feinkensen, Einkensen, Eibre, Hinsen, Vorder, Judenas, Heifen, Heifen, Weisenkens, Einkensen. Oh, we should not have rebelled against God. We should not have rebelled against God. Dave, did you get any of that? Bye-bye. Click, 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 click. Oh, shouldn't have done it. Should not have rebelled. It's crazy, too, when you read the Bible, you find out you have preferences. I'm a big NLT guy. I love the New Living Translation. I go to a church that only reads ESV. I have another brother that loves the NIV. I once dated a girl in college who only read the King James Bible. Can you believe that? She was like, dost thou have feelings for me of what might pertaineth to holy matrimony and forevermore? And then I dated a girl who only read the Message Bible. And she was like, you want to make out? Is that good? Just kind of an easier translation there, you know. You got to find ways to focus on the positive in 2020. What we did to kind of get our minds distracted and get our minds off things is we signed up my kids for soccer. We had them join a soccer team. I have a 3- and a 5-year-old. It was great, and it was fun. It was safe. It was outdoors. And, you know, they had rules, and I get it. Like, you had to wear a mask, even though we were outside. But I'm a team player. I put on the mask. But some of the other rules got me in trouble. Like, apparently you're not supposed to gamble on the game. And they get really upset when you wear face paints, which means they definitely didn't appreciate my chest paints. And when I threw the lawn chair at the referee, that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. But y'all, those teenage refs don't know what they're doing, okay? The one who I threw it at, she had no idea what was going on, okay? I guess what I'm trying to say is that maybe we shouldn't play in the church league anymore. That's what I've discovered. But how do you talk to your kids about what's going on? Like, at what age do you tell them the most truth? It's tough. There's a lot of issues going on right now that has kind of divided our country. What do you say to a 3- and a 5-year-old? How do you teach them right and wrong? How do you teach them to seek justice but also love mercy? At our church, we have some great family resources that's been awesome, and we try to do a lot in our home. But one of the big things I like that we do is that we choose to make a big deal out of Martin Luther King Jr. Day every year. The week before the Monday, we read books about him, and we talk about him at our dinner table, and we try to teach our kids that this is an amazing American Christian man who loved people the way that Jesus did, who changed the course of our country for the better. He overcame evil with good. He turned the other cheek. He loved his enemy, and that's why we revere him. He did what was difficult, you know? And my son is 5. He's getting really excited because he can finally absorb a lot of this. They're talking about it at his daycare, and he gets so excited. He thinks everyone in the book is Martin Luther King Jr. He's like, is that Martin Luther King Jr.? He's like, no, son, that's just another character in the book. We'll be watching TV. He'll be like, is that Martin Luther King Jr.? He's like, no, son, that is Stanley from The Office. I know there are some similarities. Is that Martin Luther King Jr.? He's like, no, son, that is our waiter tonight at Outback Steakhouse. And I am so sorry. We will be good tippers. And every year, we go to the MLK Day Parade in our town. We and some sister churches get together. It's a real day of unity. We go to the Martin Luther King Jr. Day Parade in our city. And my son, on the way to the parade this year, in the back seat, in his car seat, goes, man, I cannot wait to see Martin Luther King Jr. Like, oh, boy. My wife's like, how do we navigate this? And I was like,
So he thinks it's like the Christmas parade. Like at the end of the parade, MLK is like on a float, like waving to everyone. And I was like, I'll handle this. I was like, well, son, Martin Luther King Jr. isn't going to be there. He died a long time ago, but we celebrate him today. He's up in heaven. With Jesus? Yeah, pal, with Jesus. And Zinger? Zinger's our dog who died the previous year. It's like, yeah, pal, and Zinger, that's what's going on up in heaven. Jesus, Zinger, and Martin Luther King Jr. are all hanging out together having a good time. And he goes, when did he die? 50 some odd years ago. What happened? Oh boy. Well, son, a very evil, mean, bad, terrible man hated Martin Luther King Jr. just because he was black. And my son went, the man was black? And I was like, no, the man who shot him was white. And he went, he was shot? And I was like, oh boy. My wife was like, stop. And I went, I can't. And he goes, well, who shot him? It's like a mean, bad, terrible guy. And he went, what was his name? I was like, well, his name was James. And my son got like a weird, panicky look on his face because his name is James. And I went, buddy, you're nothing like him. He was a bad guy. You're a good guy. You just have the same name. That's all. There's nothing the same about you. And he was just quiet for the rest of the day because that's a lot for a five-year-old. And we just left him alone. And I thought, I handled that pretty well. That's the end of that. Until the next day, when I went to go pick him up at daycare, and while he was getting his coat and lunch, his teacher goes, your son knows a lot about Martin Luther King. And I went, oh no. Is everything okay? She went, no, we were actually, it was fun to see him so excited. He actually made us laugh. We got this book, and I said, children, we're going to read about Martin Luther King. And your son raised his hand and went, excuse me, Miss Keisha, it's Martin Luther King Jr., not just Martin Luther King. Carry on. My son white and mansplained to his African-American teacher about Martin Luther King Jr. And the book ends with the Civil Rights Act being passed and the erecting of the statue. That's how the book concludes, because it's a children's book. But at the end, my son raises his hand and he goes, Miss Keisha, you're forgetting a part of the story. And she went, yes? And he went, Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and now he's in heaven with Zinger and Jesus. And the man who shot him was an evil, mean, bad, terrible man. And for the life of me, I can't remember his name. And she went, thank you, James. And he went, James, it's James, it was James. It's like, what I'm trying to say is that I'm a good parent. That's all I'm trying to say. So I think I'm doing pretty good. This year, we had a lot of good firsts. We watched a lot of movies and TV together in quarantine. We got Disney Plus for free this year because of our Verizon membership, or that's how it worked out somehow. And I was like, you know what? My son's five now. We're going to watch the original Star Wars for the first time. It's PG. It's safe for him. Let's go ahead and do it. And we're watching Star Wars for the first time. I'm like, this is a beautiful moment between me and him. This is great. And Darth Vader walks onto the screen. And my son, like, sees the cape, and he hears the breathing, and you can hear the music. You can just feel the ominous presence. And my son goes, Papa, who is that? I went, son, that is Darth Vader. And he went, Papa, is Darth Vader a bad guy? And I went, well, that's a complex question, son. Darth Vader is a complicated character who we feel sympathy for once we learn his backstory, but he shows all of our proneness to go to the dark side, that we all make bad decisions sometimes, and that none of us are free of sin. But you know what? He also represents redemption, young man. Redemption, that it's never too late to do the right thing, and that there's really good in all of us, and that we're all made in God's image. And then I remembered, my son is 5 years old. So I just went, yeah, son, that's the bad guy. That's who that is. He got to go to a couple camps this summer, a couple day camps. That was cool. Made me have my own goals for a camp. After meeting your worship leader, I want to start a camp where kids and boys and girls from all over the country can come together and learn to be Christian singers, songwriters, and worship leaders. I'm going to call it Jeremy Camp. That's what I'm going to do. Thanks, one kid. All right, that was good. That's yeah, I met your worship leader backstage, and he was the tallest person I've ever seen, and he was like, I didn't think we'd have a comedian. It's like, I didn't think your church would have a bouncer, but here you are, all right. Like, you should go to the children's ministry and play Goliath. That's what should happen. I immediately felt short. And then I met his wife, and I felt normal again, so it was okay. Oh, but it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, how do you address these things? The big thing when I was a kid, you always had to worry about. You had to worry about your kids smoking cigarettes. That's the one thing you never wanted your kids to get into. Smoking was bad. There was all this education about it. You don't have to worry about that anymore because kids don't smoke. They vape. Use e-cigarettes. And you don't have to worry about being cool with that because nobody looks cool smoking an e-cigarette, okay? Nobody looks cool smoking the front end of Kevin McAllister's Home Alone 2 Talk Boy, okay? Like, you want to hit off my kazoo shoved into a Game Boy? Yeah, no, I don't. Not at all. Not cool. I was driving the other day, and I saw a guy on the highway with an e-cigarette on a necklace around his neck. Like, it was some kind of, like, white trash peace pipe or something. It was gross. It's like, what is the next step in e-cigarette technology? Just putting on one of those harmonica holders, you know? Like, now I can drive and smoke hands-free. I can't even hear my credit rating lowering. Oh, yeah, no problems at all. I'm starting to sound like my dad, too. That's what makes me nervous. I'm starting to say things that he said when I was younger. One of the things he used to say was nothing good happens after midnight. Anyone's dad ever say that? Yeah? Nothing good happens after midnight. I was like, you know what, Dad? Wawa's open after midnight, okay? And it's delicious. He would say things like, oh, you represent the family, you know? Say things like, good decisions. Anyone else's dad say anything like that? What was something your dad said to you as you were leaving the house? Anyone? Check oil? Wow. Dad had his priorities straight. That's good. That's... My dad said something very, very, very particular to us, in addition to those other things. And I'll tell you what it is with this story. I grew up in Northern Virginia, the D.C. area, and it's a very, very, very diverse area. People from all over the world live there. Africa, South America, red, yellow, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It was beautiful. It was just a beautiful rainbow of people. And there was a big Jewish population. We had a big Jewish community in Northern Virginia. And so when I was 13, I was going to bar and bar mitzvahs every weekend. That's when a Jewish boy or girl enters adulthood in that culture and religion. And so we'd go to these celebrations, and as we're pulling up to this synagogue, we're pulling up to this Jewish temple, my dad drops me off, and as I'm walking, I forget what my dad says to me as I leave things, but he made it plain and clear. I'm walking into this Jewish synagogue. There's rabbis and Jewish people and Jewish moms and dads and families, and my dad yells from the car, "Stand for Christ!" And I'm just walking there staring at everyone, and they're all looking at me more than the bar mitzvah kid the whole day. It was very embarrassing. I grew up in Northern Virginia, but I met my wife in Wilmington, North Carolina, where I live now. We live near the beach. It's awesome. And we met in a very romantic way. We met at a beach bonfire. Very romantic. And I realized when I was telling my kids that, that's just not going to happen very much as of recent. Because people don't meet now in person romantically. They meet on dating apps. They meet online and on the internet and all these different dating apps. I have a couple in my small group that met each other romantically on Facebook. What are they going to tell their grandchildren? What's that conversation going to be like? Like, oh, well, their grandchild, me and your grandmother, we met on the old Book of Faces. Yes. Yes, she wrote on my wall, I wrote on hers. And then we got to poking. Yes. But then I was tagged in some photos she unliked. It was very difficult. And I say that in an old man voice because once you get on Facebook, you don't get off. I'm going to be on Facebook forever. I'm going to be on Facebook till I'm like 90. And by then, like, Facebook will be sending you notifications when your friends have died and whatnot. You know, it's like, Linda is no longer listed as living. Would you like to attend your funeral? Maybe. I think I'll just maybe attend that one. It's funny how things progress, too. How to keep the spice alive, you know. My wife and I had some romantic dates during quarantine just at home. We just lit a candle at our table. And I thought, I'm going to be romantic, and I'm going to set the mood using the Pandora Music app. And learn from my mistake, River Run, okay? If you ever try to set the mood using the Pandora Music app, invest in the ad-free version, okay? Nothing will kill the mood faster than being interrupted by a Trump campaign ad, all right? It wasn't a pretty picture. I'm always getting embarrassed in front of my wife. Always getting embarrassed. We were at the bank depositing a check, and I signed the check to endorse it, and the lady behind the counter went, "Wow, you have the signature of a doctor." But then she looked up our information and went, "Whoa, but you do not have the bank account of one." I was like, "Wow, thanks, she can hear you. I appreciate that, yeah." We were being seated at a restaurant later on when the rules loosened up, and the lady taking us to the table went, "Hey, you and your wife are the same height." And I went, "Hey, she doesn't need more reasons to leave me, okay? That's not something we need." She's not the stay-at-home type. She's a working lady. She's the breadwinner of our relationship. She's a teacher. Shows you how well I'm doing. And she doesn't clean very well. I don't clean very well. We don't keep our house very nice. I never know what cleaning product to buy just because they all show the same thing for every commercial. You know, it's like a glass of wine and it's like, "Watch this. With OxyClean, you can do anything. You could spill one on the carpet. You could spill one on the mattress. You could spill one on your shirt." And I'm like, how drunk is this person? I'm not a big drinker, but maybe the solution to your problem isn't OxyClean. Maybe drink less? Maybe that's what you should do. What's it like going to this person's home for like a dinner party? Like, "How you doing? Welcome to my home. Welcome to my home. This is my new carpet over here. This is my new mattress over here. This is my new shirt." It's like, "No, it's cool. I got OxyClean. It's all right. It's okay." I try to keep things tight with at least our finances. We try to be good stewards of what God's allowed us to have, which has been very, very difficult in 2020. We're big Dave Ramsey people. We did a financial piece. Anyone here do financial piece before? Yeah? Is Dave Ramsey on the radio here? Near it? Yeah? Let me just go off on this real quick. I like Dave Ramsey. I like the Dave Ramsey show. I don't like it when people call into the Dave Ramsey show because it's just a waste of everyone's time. Like, they're not relatable. They only fall on two ends of the spectrum. Like, you'll have some people call into the Dave Ramsey show, and they're like, "Dave, we are in a pickle. We just paid off our third home debt-free, sent our fourth kid to college, no loans or anything. Now we don't know where to vacation. I don't know what we're going to do." And I'm like, "I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to hang up the phone, get on a plane, and free up the lines for the people that need to talk to Dave. And he'll still take those calls." He'll be like, "Okay, what's your emergency fund?" Like, no. And then some people call into the Dave Ramsey show who even Dave can't help. They'll call in. You hear them breathing heavily on the other side of the phone. They're like, "Dave, I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm $1 billion in debt to the mafia. And they're holding my family hostage at a timeshare that I cannot get out of. Just once I want to hear Dave Ramsey go, "Okay, I can't help you at all. I'm sorry. This better than I deserve." We try to save money. We try to save money on the toughest stuff. Before we had children, before we had to pay for daycare and all these expenses, we ate the best pizza in the world, the finest pizza in our town. Who knows where we eat pizza now? Come on. Totino's? Is that a place here? Oh, that's right. It's a place that makes frozen pizza. No, people, think lower. Come on now. Chuck E. Cheese. That's Little Caesars. Excuse me while I drop my monocle into my caviar. No. No, yes, you raising your hand for some reason. Yes. Domino's. Okay, I can't hear you from your gated community. No. No. You were close with the frozen pizza. We eat Walmart Great Value frozen pizza. Oh, and the kids love it. They're crazy about it, but it's terrible. Someone said Little Caesars. I heard them whisper that. Little Caesars knows their bad pizza. They know their pizza isn't good. It's right there in their slogan. It's like Little Caesars, hot and ready. That's it. That's all they say about their pizza. There's nothing else. It's like hot and ready. What's it taste like? It's just hot and ready, okay? We can only guarantee its availability and relative temperature, okay? That's anything beyond that's a roll of the dice. I had someone yell out CC's one time. Do you guys have CC's here? Yeah. You know what CC's is? All you can eat Little Caesars. That's all that it is, people. All the Little Caesars you want. I'm lucky enough, though, to have a wife who's a really good cook. She loves to cook. She makes great meals. She loves watching those cooking shows on TV. She loves shows like Top Chef and Chopped and like Master's Kitchen and things like that. And I didn't watch cooking shows before I was married because there's no Top Chef for single men, because that'd be the most depressing show on television. Like, welcome back to Top Chef for single men. All right, we've got our three finalists here. Three finalists in front of you is the final challenge. In front of you, each one of you is a frozen pizza. Okay, yes. And go. All right, let's see what Steve is doing. Steve's looking at his pizza. He's not sure what to do. He's trying to cut it while it's frozen. He's putting that frozen pizza in the microwave. Okay, that might cost him a few points. All right, let's move on to Dave. What's Dave doing with his pizza? He's looking at the directions. He's sitting down. He's turning on the television. Okay, it's looked like he's going to wait for that pizza to thaw out on its own at room temperature. Wow, that's a bold move. Let's see if it works out for him. Okay, let's move on to John, our third finalist. John's looking at his phone. Is he looking up directions? Is he looking up pointers? No, he's dialing a number. Okay, it looks like he's calling to order a pizza instead of eating the one that's in front of them. And then like the judges would be eating the pizza. They'd be like, wow, okay, Dave, I can really taste the sadness in your pizza. Very lonely, very lonely. Did you cry into this? It's salty, yeah. If you try this hard with pizza at you do relationships, you've got a real shot at lifelong bachelorhood, my friend, yes. And then if you get kicked off Top Chef, the people judging the show, the judges would be like, all right, look, Steve, I'm very sorry. You overdid the ramen. You underdid the Easy Mac. Take your dishes, put them in the overloaded sink, and get off the show. You're out of here. I'm sorry. You're no longer a part of Single Man Top Chef. It's over. But of course, I'm no longer single. I was here 3 years ago, and back then I was celebrating 7 years of marriage. And in just a few days, I'm about to celebrate 10 years of marriage, people. 10 years of marriage. That's right. We got married January 1st of 2011. 1-1-1-1-1. Just say one a lot. That's my anniversary right there. And it's beautiful. Can't wait to celebrate. And I've been married for 10 years, exactly, which means I have seen all 8 seasons of Gilmore Girls. All 8 seasons. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Are you ready? I'm going to spoil it. It's a terrible show. It's not a good show, and I'm very sorry if you like it, but it's not. Gilmore Girls is such a bad show that Netflix won't even wait for one episode to be over. It'll ask you in the middle of an episode, are you still watching this? Are you really? It's not a good show. I'm sorry. I just don't want to be yapped at by two quickly, sarcastically talking women for hours on end. I have a wife and daughter. I have that in real life. The show is too real. I watch TV to escape things, not embrace it, okay? The show is too much like real life because the only redeemable character is the man in the show. This character, Luke, he's this strong man. He's handsome. He owns his own business. He gets things done. He takes care of things. And he's clearly in love with this woman. And it takes this chick 8 seasons to get with him. She has to date all these terrible guys before she notices him. That's too much like real life, okay? Forget it. Turn it off. I don't want to see it. We're watching The Office instead, okay? That's what we're going to do. I'm going to dab myself after that one. That was great. Ooh. Oh, man. But it's true. It's true. It's good to be married for that long, and I'm so grateful. Because it's been a tough year. I had to travel a lot this year to places that I don't usually go to. I had to spend a lot of time on the road just to get to places that would have a comedy show. It's weird when you're on the road for a long time. You notice things about, like, highways and neighborhoods. Like in neighborhoods around here, big homes are around big homes and small homes are around small homes. But when you drive down like a country road, it's anyone's guess what you're going to see. Like on a country road here, on the way here today, like I looked on like one side of the road on the way here today, and it was beautiful. It was like mansion, farm, ranch. But then immediately on this side, it was like camper, shack, meth lab. It's like, wait a minute, hold on a second. How is Warren Buffett across the street from Walter White? What's going on here? That's kind of a weird dynamic is that. I had to take any job I could get this year. Any job I could get, I had to take. I went into crazy places. I had to do a few shows at a hookah bar. Do you guys know what a hookah bar is? Your pastor's not looking. Raise your hand. It's dark. It's okay. A couple of us? Okay. I forgive you. a hookah bar is a crazy place. And I love being a light in dark places. I like bringing the gospel to places it doesn't usually go. That's Jesus. But every time I'm at the hookah bar telling jokes, I keep saying the same thing to myself in my head. I'm just like, wow, this is the only bar I would ever want to get in a fight in at. You know, because there's pillows everywhere, you just be bouncing around, you know, grab a pillow, smack a hippie. I mean, it's just, the vegan diet has nothing on me. It really doesn't. I always own it while I'm there. But you know, I really liked what your pastor has been saying and what your worship pastor has been saying. We've always got a reason to celebrate if we're believers. I was reading my one-year Bible this year during a very, very tough time. And in one of the Gospels, I came across this great part that the Spirit just kind of lit up to me. The disciples have been sent out and they're healing people, and they come back to Jesus, and they're like, the power of the Holy Spirit allowed us to heal people, and we did miracles, and we cast out demons, and it was amazing. And Jesus said, "Just that's great. Don't rejoice because you have that power to do that. Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life." And that hit me hard, because in the midst of losing almost everything, I could still rejoice that we know who Jesus is, that we've been saved, that our names are written in the book of life. And if you don't know that, I don't know what else to tell you that I can only recommend it. You could take it from someone who ran away from God for so long, who was a doubter. That if you look for God, if you taste and see that God is good, if you ask, seek, and knock, God is there. The Bible says if you look for God, you'll find him. And it's just, it's the truth. And if you have that information, don't stop sharing it. Keep going, River Run Church, keep sharing that gospel, because if there's anything I've learned this year, anything we can take away from it, is that our days are numbered. And that's not meant to sound dark. That's what David said to God in the Psalms. He says, teach me to number my days, that this isn't our final home. Keep sharing that message of hope. Keep doing what you're doing here at River Run. God is always good. Always good. We can always rejoice. And God always has a sense of humor too. I know God has a sense of humor, because in December of 2019, I made the decision. I said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to get me a real nice suit. I'm going to get me a really nice suit. 2020 hits, it all falls apart, gets canceled. And they said, it's just going to be 2 weeks. I said, great, 2 weeks, I can wait that long, it'll come back. But 2 weeks turned into a month, turned into 3 months. And towards the middle end of summer, we're starting to panic. We don't know what we're going to do. Our money's running thin. We're really trying our best. I'm doing everything. I'm donating plasma. I'm doing everything I can. I'm applying to Uber and Grubhub and DoorDash. But they're on a backlog. Their background check system is backlogged because everyone's trying to get a job there. And I'm praying. I'm asking for help. What am I going to do? And a buddy of mine reaches out. And this is the way God works. He goes, man, don't you worry. I got your back. I have a job you can start tomorrow. You don't even need a resume. And I was like, oh, miracle. Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm on board. You know, what is it? He goes, well, you're going to be delivering stuff. I went, perfect. That's what I've been trying to do part-time. You know, we're going to be delivering like uniforms, blankets, hospital supplies. He goes, well, you're going to be delivering dead bodies. And I went, excuse me? And he went, yeah, the funeral home here needs people to drive and pick up cadavers when people die, because their drivers are all quitting because they don't want to get COVID, and you can fill that spot. And I went, I guess this is my life now. I said, but you know what? I come from a blue-collar background. You do what you do to take care of the family. This is what God has for me in front of me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be brave. This is scary, but jumping in, go ahead and sign me up, man. And he went, well, but before you do that, there is one catch. And I went, what? He went, well, you're going to need a really nice suit. And so for 1 week, River Run, I was the best dressed dead body picker-upper guy. I was on call for 1 week, And I never had to put the suit on because for 1 week in Brunswick County, North Carolina, nobody died. And then Uber called, the background check went through, and I became a driver with them. Anyway, guys, I hope you have a great 2021. Thank you so much for helping me laugh with you. And I'll see you guys next time, hopefully.